Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Rod Peterson Show, Thursday morning, episode 238 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. If you are just joining us into hour two and you're listening to the podcast, you missed Darren drop an F-bomb. First time in his career, he did it near the end of hour one. Your mom's not pleased, I can tell you that.
You don't know what anxiety does to a person.
I have a pretty good idea what it does, actually. Peter Hoosley writes in. He says, so what? The F word happened. Ever listen to the Spittin' Chicklets podcast? Well, when we were launching this show a year ago, hockey guy Todd Ripplinger said to me, who's a big Spittin' Chicklets fan? He said, oh, are you going to drop F-bombs and stuff? And I said, no, I just don't have it in me. And for, in your case, it just slipped out. So, well, I mean, I get it. I just could. I can't. No, I can't. It's not like I don't use it all the time off the air. It's not like I don't use it.
Yeah.
But I've never, fortunately, said it on the mic. Tim Hunter, just one more before we jump into the CFL thing. He was just telling Clark in the break that he will come on at any time ever. And you were saying in the break, too, that there's a lot of people in the dub that didn't like him because he's a gruff hockey coach, and they had their reasons, and I'm sure they're good reasons. But the thing was, every time I saw him, and he was usually with Al Miller, the general manager of the Warriors, every time he would go, hey, Rod, he didn't have to do that. There's a lot of guys that don't. So I just knew, despite everything that I'd heard, and I didn't even know the guy. He's a good guy, but he's a nice guy. It's just, there's, you got to dig a little to find it. In the rink.
Right.
Fair?
No, it's true. And I respect it because those playoff series, and it was him and Mitch Love and the reporters and, you know, playing games in the media and being the tough, you know, hockey guy. And then Mark Capscheid was the same way. And
oh, yeah. They all are.
I love those guys, right? I mean, those are the hockey guys that I like. But getting that hate and getting a little bit of that, like, I should have dug in and not just, I should have dug in and gave it back. Like,
yeah, you just cowered.
I did. Because I, well,
it, I've done it a
but
million
I, you
times.
Know, when you respect the guy and then you don't get, you're like disappointed, right? Like a kid. But it's great for ticket sales. I mean, the interest in that Moose Jaw Saskatoon series went through the roof.
Oh, yeah. 10,000 in the Sastel Center.
And for the PA series, the next round, the PA Saskatoon series, yeah, it was over 10,000 for game six. So that stuff I love, and we need more of that in the game for sure. But, yeah, sitting in
a guy like Tim Hunter would appreciate if he stood up to him. You know what? I'm at a point now, I think it's pretty clear, I stand up to people when they try to bully me, and a lot of them don't like it. You know? But I don't care. I'm not putting up with the crap anymore. Nothing to do with Tim Hunter. I'm talking about the people that are bullies, and they're different personality types than Tim Hunter. So anyways, to the CFL stuff before we bring on Reed Lowe from St. Louis, the Moose Jaw kid, former Minot American, Minot Top Gun, two games with the Pats, and then the Moose Jaw Warriors. He played for all the great teams. 256 games with the Blues, played with the Chicago Blackhawks. Anyways, to the CFL stuff, because we said we'd put a wrap on yesterday's town hall. Clark, you just tell me when Reed's ready. Commissioner saying, if they play at all, it's kicking off in September. I meant to cover this in the quick six show topics. I mentioned the Calgary news anchor on CTV Calgary last night saying, so Glenn, there's going to be CFL football this year. And Glenn Campbell's like, no, they hope that there will be. People kind of got it wrong, and that's not the CFL's fault. People hear what they want to hear. Having said that, apparently on the Global Vancouver, the two anchors were bashing the CFL, making fun of the CFL. And actually, I saw it on Twitter this morning. Somebody said, oh, blankety blank and blankety blank from Global Vancouver think they're better than the CFL. Saw it on Twitter. And then predictable mentions, right, bashing them. I thought this is what I would do, because I've seen it happen so many times. What I would do if I was the Lions or anybody that you were trying to win over, if you will, or expose your product, bring him to a game, put him in the luxury suite, feed him full of food and booze, maybe give him a sideline experience, bring some legends in, bring in G-Roy, maybe if Flutie's at the game, you bring him in, give him the royal treatment, because it works. You think those anchors are going to run down the CFL again? Because I tell you what, the Canucks aren't going to do that. And that's what the Rattlers did with us. That's what the Rush did with us. Rolled out the red carpet. All of a sudden, you got us in the, they have us in the palm of their hand.
It works.
That's what I would do to those Vancouver anchors, but that's just me.
It's also giving without the expectation of return. I mean, they roll us out there to the games and everything else. But then they don't say, you come out to the game, we're going to treat you this, and then you do a couple reports for us. No, no, no.
No, they don't.
They just say, come to the game, enjoy it. And they,
no expectations.
And they leave it. But you put out that goodwill, you're going to get it back at some point. It's going to happen.
Unless they're absolute, complete jerks, which I don't think that they are. Yeah. And but the Lions, the people that are doing those types of things have been around long enough. They know that that's what they need to do. Or maybe they just don't care. But one line that you said to me that I've never forgotten is, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's some expectation back if I buy you lunch, right? And that's true, but it's unstated.
Yeah.
So anyways, our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is, do you think there will be CFL games in 2020? I'm on record as saying no, simply because of there's just too many hurdles. I like what the commissioner did yesterday, because players like Chad Jeter, he's our example guy, that said, hey, do I need to go get a job? He's tweeting at the CFLPA. With what Ambrosi said yesterday, it's, guys, go get a job, right? And maybe we'll see you back here in August. Maybe. Jim Wagner writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line at 840-8777, says, hello, gentlemen. On the CFL, unfortunately, no, I don't think they will play. Just too many details to work out to make it work. Go Wiz, says Jim. Again, I did not watch the town hall yesterday because I was getting a massage. I would have liked to have seen the expressions on Randy's face or the way he was answering questions. That means a lot to me, body language. But he did his best. Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, Ambrosi gave a reasonable response to an unreasonable situation. Can't expect Regina to hang on waiting to see what happens with regards to the Grey Cup. Ambrosi knocked it out of the park yesterday. He said more than what we thought he would say. Thought it would be a news conference about nothing. The sports version of Seinfeld. And it wasn't that. From Jim in Bigger, Saskatchewan, writes in, he says, Rod, I have trouble using the F word around women and children, as you do on the air. To me, it's a sign of respect to your audience. Guess you don't respect the audience, Dubes. We're not forgetting this one anytime soon.
I'm just going to sit in the corner, take my lumps.
Oh, you're getting beaten.
It's a good day, bad day.
Brady writes in, because he said, well, the Riders have to pay again to host the Grey Cup. And I've never been familiar with any strategy that the host Grey Cup team needs to pay. They need to guarantee a certain amount of money that they'll make that'll be distributed. But I don't usually think that money comes out up front. I really don't. Brady says, so let me ask it again, but in a different way. The host team this won't have to bid, and I'm guessing the Riders don't have to bid in 2022 in order to host because they've been given the right to host already. Right, Rod? That's right, Brady. They were named yesterday as the hosts of the 2022 Grey Cup, so they don't need to bid to host the 2022 Grey Cup. Got it?
Clear as mud.
From Jason in Red Deer. Lay off dupes. He is passionate about sports. Well, you know what's happened as we have gone on through 238 episodes here? We used to really abuse each other in here, and then we became such a team, we don't abuse each other anymore. I think we need to get back to abusing each other.
It's the only way we're going to grow.
Exactly.
So Michael Jordan.
We get along too great.
Exactly. We need to get back to that. That's good. Where's the fine box? This is another example. It would be a double fine, probably.
That's exactly what Clark said in my ear. Fine fund for swearing on the ear. While we await Reed Lowe joining us, I want to revisit a couple of our points here. Trevor Harris writing me last night saying he wants my assessment of the ultimate quarterback in the CFL. Jeff, the Stamps fan, has this wrong. It's not one guy. It's who's got the best arm, who's got the best brain, who's got the best feet, who's got the best swagger.
You're combining.
And I'm starting to put those all together. But I said to Trevor Harris last night, I said, Thursday's not the day. So tune in Friday. We're doing all hockey on Thursday. Tune in Friday. I want yours. I'm going to give mine. I want the viewers. And I got some that are going to knock your socks off, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe. And we'll ask our guests who are coming up tomorrow, too. I'm not sure who. Frenzy will be in the building, by the way, tomorrow. Frenzy makes his return to the bunker. But I think it's pretty cool that Trevor Harris would write and say that. It kind of shocks me, actually.
It's cool. No, it's really cool, and we respect that a lot, and we want to, you know, we love the interaction with the players. Like you said, it's about the coaches and the players now, right? That's where the allegiance is, and that's what you want. I mean, the players interacting with the show when they come in to watch the show, when they come on the show and say they've been watching, That makes you feel good.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that.
But they're not getting this coverage anywhere else. So you know that they're watching. Tom in Kindersley says, did Dupes develop a sunburn this last hour? Love the chirping. It's so locker roomish. Maybe frenzy. What does that mean? Maybe frenzy. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm proud of the fact that we've become so close in here that we never pick on each other. That needs to stop.
We got to open. It's got to be okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, oh, Rod, you are opening a Pandora's box. What's that supposed to mean? I'm just asking for people's opinions. That's generally what we do. Doesn't mean we're going to agree with them. No, right? But we'll at least listen to them. Opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one, and most of them stink. Doesn't mean we're going to immediately dismiss them. You're already thinking in your mind about who your ultimate quarterback's going to be.
Yeah. Jeremiah Masoli's already got a spot, I think. He's got one of them.
You know, thinking about that, I did my top 10 quarterbacks, and I did not put Dane Evans on the list last week, and they're not very happy about it in Hamilton. Truth be told, don't tell them, but I forgot him.
That happens.
I mean, there's absolutely no way that Macbeth is better than Dane Evans, but I put Macbeth on the list and not Dane Evans, so I made a mistake. How are we going to get through a CFL season without me abusing Bo Levi Mitchell or just needling the Hamilton Tiger Cats for fun? I mean, we will get through it, of course. As I said to Adam Stewart, the tractor guy in the tractor earlier on, think about something else. We will get through it. If I need to hound the Hanwha Eagles from the Korean Baseball League, I will. But we were just having fun. We were just getting into it.
Yeah.
Is my point.
Yeah. That's it. Got to have fun. If it's not fun, what have we said, even with this whole show? The moment it's not fun, it's the time we'll shut it down.
Well, then we'll time to go.
Yeah.
Like Phil Jackson said, and I know people won't understand it. And until it was time for me to go, I wouldn't have understood it either. But Phil Jackson, end of the episode 10 of The Last Dance, he goes, we won our title, 6 championships, it's time to go. And you know there's a lot of diehard Bulls fans going, what do you mean it's time to go? You're just at the peak. Because in their mind, it was the peak.
Yeah.
It's the Jerry Seinfeld strategy.
And it's
leave them wanting more.
And it's a great strategy. And I never talked about this with The Last Dance. And just one final point. They kind of said, maybe we'll bring back Phil Jackson. Michael thought if they came back, they could have won again. But Michael goes back into retirement. They trade Scottie Pippen. They release Dennis Rodman. Phil Jackson's gone. And that's how they just ended it with the credits. Like, this all happened.
Yeah, and so, I know.
But you leave everybody with that last memory is amazing. Right? And you don't have the trail off. And sometimes that's better.
Donald in Ottawa writes that he says, Jeff, you're not scared. Not everyone will pick Bo Levi. Now, well, that's a tease for tomorrow with what we're going to be talking about, the ideal quarterback in the CFL. But, you know, we can ask Reed Lowe about this, too. I think he's old enough to have watched Boys on the Bus. Maybe Clark says he's ready and standing by. He obviously remembers the Oilers dynasty. But if you watch the King's Ransom 30 for 30 documentary on Wayne Gretzky, you're nodding your head like you have.
Oh, yeah.
So Gretzky gets booted out of town in Edmonton. I will never, ever, ever get the mentality of a guy like Peter Pocklington. I've been doing as much as I can to understand those people. I've actually sat down with those types of people in the recovery industry and just said, what makes you tick? What, like, I will never think like you. That CEO type. Well, you know what? Like Pocklington's like that,
right?
Even a Jerry Krause, or even a Jerry Reinsdorf, or a Bob Kraft, or a Bill Belichick, who quite frankly runs all of the New England Patriots. He's not the CEO, but he might as well be. Do you see a similarity there? Jordan, Gretzky, Brady—it always ends bad.
Always.
Why?
Never ends well.
They made the franchise and get shown the door.
Right, but when you have that kind of money and you buy a team, you don't want to admit that somebody else made it happen, that somebody else screwed the franchise, right? You want to, it's our franchise. We gave you the opportunity. it's two guys. It's that superstar mentality. It's the boys, right? It's that bravado, right? Everybody wants to believe that they're the reason why it's happening. Greatness, you know, the greats are great for a reason. They want to believe that they're the best. Michael Jordan would never want to be number two. He'd never want to accept that he's number two. He's number one. Well, Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, Belichick, all of those guys, they're the best at what they do. So none of them want to accept that they're number two either.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says Pocklington needed money. That was the root of the trade, wasn't it? It was, but you didn't have to crap all over Wayne on his way out of town.
No. Trying to justify that's trade.
Yeah, and say he's got an ego the size of Manhattan. And how the hell did we get down this road?
We're here now.
We're here now and we're having coffee. So Reed's ready? Is that the deal? Oh, he's not. Okay, we're going to take a break. Reed Lowe coming up from St. Louis. A sports update and more on all of this. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Nat, what are the top 5 reasons people come to Suds?
Number 5. Our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number 4. We knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze-up. Number 3. Our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number 2. You never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number 1 reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. What I love about today's show more than any other in some time is that the viewers are invested. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
They really feel part of this discussion, which they are. I'm going to get to some of the questions in a moment, but first, the sports update. Alden Smith will be able to take part in team activities with the Dallas Cowboys after the NFL on Wednesday conditionally reinstated the pass rusher from an indefinite suspension for off-field issues. Smith, who has not played in the NFL since 2015, will be able to participate in the Cowboys' virtual off-season program starting next week. He can also meet with teammates and coaches. The NCAA Division I Council voted Wednesday to lift a moratorium on voluntary workouts by football and basketball players effective June 1st, as a growing number of college leaders expressed confidence that fall sports will be possible in some form, despite concerns about the pandemic. This decision clears the way for individual workouts by athletes, mostly on their own, subject to safety and health protocols decided by their schools or local health officials. I have not talked to the university people. You did yesterday. Yep. You said the Rams, but I'm talking about Canadian University. I got to think they're following the NCAA very closely. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, they are. They are following that. And I know, I mean, here anyways, they see a real opportunity if they're going to allow partial fans in a stadium, but the CFL doesn't play and they do. How many people do they think that you'll get in there to watch a Rams-Huskies game at Mosaic Stadium? It might be like that opener that we did on Canada West TV and across the network, where they had 16, 17,000 people in the building.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So they're excited about the potential of that.
Continuing, a poll suggests that while Canadians want to get back to organized sports and group physical activities post-pandemic, it may take time for some to feel comfortable doing so. Still, a majority believes that it's important for Canadians to play organized sports when distancing restrictions are lifted because of the impact they have on mental and physical health. The Abacus data poll showed 1 in 4 Canadian adults regularly took part in an organized sport or group physical activity before the pandemic. As one might expect, younger Canadians were much more likely to take part, with 43% saying they played an organized sport or took part in a group physical activity before the pandemic. Interestingly enough, I never even got working out till I was 30. Weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways, here we are. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. They feature free citywide delivery and curbside pickup. See their Facebook page for their takeout menu. And by the way, we got him just before we bring in from St. Louis, Reed Lowe. One of our viewers, Rick Haglin, writes in and he says, Reed Lowe played for the Warriors? Did he? He's from Moose Jaw. 123 games. I got it right here. And then on to the National Hockey League, 256 games with the Blues and the Blackhawks, and he's in St. Louis joining us today. Let's bring him in, boys. Reed Lowe, appreciate it. How you doing, Reed?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. How is it possible that you look younger now than when you played? What is going on down there? What's the secret?
I'm not sure. I got the full beard now instead of the goatee. I went without facial hair for a long time, but that just didn't work for me. It's too much of a baby face getting parted at most of the liquor stores and bars at 40 years of age. It's a nice compliment, but I think I'll take the facial hair.
Obviously, good genes, which, by the way, did your dad get you my book, Heart and Soul of the SJHL? Because he bought several copies and said he's going to ship them to you in St. Louis.
Yeah, he sent it to me. I haven't cracked into it. I always tell people my name's Reed. I don't do it very much, so I might have to look for the audio.
Well, listen, you better get in there because Rob Tudor, how do I say this tactfully, just kissed your ass in there on the chapter on Minot. Obviously, you had good times in Minot with Rob Tudor, and you played for both the Top Guns and Americans, which is pretty cool.
I did, yeah. It was you know, I was 17 years old. I was going into my grade 12 year in Moose Jaw, going to Central Collegiate. And I was listed by the Minot Americans at the time. And I went down and tried out for the team. And Jim Rock was the coach at the time. And I made the inter-squad game, and I got 4 goals in it. And I beat up 2 of the toughest guys in the team. And he came in after and said, you think you could do that again? I said, score 4 goals in a game? And he's like, no. Can you beat guys up like that? I'm like, does it mean I'm going to make the team? He said, yep. I said, all right, you point them out, I'll take them out. And that was kind of the beginning of me understanding that the enforcer role was going to be something that I was going to be involved in if I wanted to have a career in hockey. So Jim Rock did a lot for me that year, and halfway through that season, he was fired, and Rob Tudor was brought in, and spent the next 2.5 years with him before making my trek to the Warriors.
This is absolutely awesome hockey stories. And by the way, one of our viewers, Alan Ort, writes in, says, hey, reader, from a teammate of the Minot Americans and Top Guns. He's watching right now this interview. So let's go back to the junior before we get to the NHL. So obviously the Pats saw something. You came up in 94-95. Played a couple of games, and then over to your hometown Warriors. What was it like playing for both sides in the most heated rivalry in junior hockey?
You know, we never played the Warriors. I can't even think who I played. There was a game at home, and I was playing at PA in Saskatoon, I think. And so at the time, I knew that, you know, my high school education wasn't where it should have been, and that the major junior was going to be my route if I was going to do anything. And so I just gave it a whirl with the Regina Pats. It didn't work itself out, even though all the guys in the team wanted me to stay. But it didn't work itself out, so I went back to Minot. And then the next year, I actually started the season out in Minot. Al Tour cut me right before inter-squad game. And so I went down to Minot, had like 20 points in 6 or 7 games with a guy named Pete Holine, who ended up getting a scholarship to Mankato, and came back up to the Warriors. And you know, playing in front of my hometown was unbelievable. You know, I was friends with majority of everybody in the town. They'd kind of watched me go through the Tier 2 level in the Saskatchewan Junior League. And To kind of come in there and fight like I did and do the things that I did was pretty awesome. And then to be able to get drafted at the end of that season by the St. Louis Blues, and the following training camp, I ended up breaking my tailbone in training camp when I was getting ready to go as an overage and try and make minor pro hockey. And when I take a look at the fact that I did break my tailbone and got an opportunity to stay in Moose Jaw and have a real successful season, actually, where we were the seventh seed, beat out Brandon, who was a second seed in the first round, and then almost beat Lethbridge, who ended up going to the Memorial Cup final. It was a great 2 years, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of it. And you know, now obviously being one of the members inducted to the Moose Jaw Warrior Hall of Fame as well, it's all pretty special. Growing up watching guys like Kelly Buckberger, who lived with us as a Triple A player, and Lyle Odeline, who lived with my aunt and uncle Jim and Linda Lowe, and Mike Keane. And you know, I fought Odie a few times in the NHL, and Mike Keane was my teammate. And I'll never forget the year that I showed up, and he showed up after signing with us in the season. He's like, geez, it's all coming full circle. Now this kid was 10 when I was in junior hockey. So pretty special memories of Moose Jaw, the people there, the support that I've been given, and it'll always be my home. I'll love coming back and saying hi to everybody.
Two-part question here. Did it bother you that your opponents called you speed slow? And two, when you made the NHL, was it like, oh, screw those guys, I'm in the show now? Because I was thinking of you when that happened.
You know, speed slow, that's all those Regina Pack boys that my agent Brad Devine represented. And the summer times were not fair because there was like five of those guys and one of me. And they had a lot of fun with me, but you know, that's part of my personality. I've been called a lot worse than speed slow. It's one of the nicknames that comes along with not having the best skating structure, but my skating was always something that I tried to work on and eventually improved on, and you know, was able to have a legitimate stance as a fourth liner in the NHL, obviously for my pugilism and my ability to get in on the forecheck and hopefully be a good teammate. So yeah, speed slow, that rings back to junior hockey days. That's been around for a long time.
Boyd Kane, Kyle Calder, Curtis Tippler, Derek Morris. I know exactly who you're talking about. All bullies, by the way. So we had Jason Strudwick with us last hour, and he said you gave him the biggest beating of his life. And he's actually watching right now. What do you remember about that?
It's funny because one of his really good friends, Tyson Nash, was my left winger at the time, and we played on the line for almost 3 years together. But I was a healthy scratch for like 15 games. You know, I think if you look back in the story, I tweaked my knee in a game one night against Calgary, and the next day it was swollen up, and I was having troubles pushing off it. And in my opinion, my coach kind of thought I was being a little bit of a, you know, back in those days, you weren't forgiven injury-wise. So I told him that I couldn't play. I wanted to rest it up and that it was real bad. And it was fairly swollen, but he didn't think it was severe enough. So Joel Quenneville sat me for like 15 games, and we were 6-9. And it was one of the worst things that I ever went through as a player in pro hockey. Just knowing that after that, I never missed a game unless I was in the hospital or had broken bones. You know, it was a good learning lesson for me. But to get to the Jason Strudwick, he was my first game back Vancouver, my first shift on the ice. You know, I had a lot of pent-up anger and rage. But unfortunately, I took out on him that night. So if you're watching Struds, no, nothing personal, buddy. This part of the game, I just, you kind of picked a bad day to play against me, I guess. I'm not real sure because I was super ready to let everybody know I was back in the lineup.
Wow, that's awesome. So last one for you, Reed. The Blues are leading the division. Everybody says they think that hockey's coming back. So what was it like on that run and winning it all last year? And do you think they got it to repeat?
You know, I think this team is poised to have a great opportunity to be a Stanley Cup champion again. And I think when you take a look at how everything was brought together, just the amount of respect these guys have for a guy like Craig Berube that's spent 17 years, over 3,000 penalty minutes. Like, how do you not respect the guy? I had 750 penalty minutes in 250 games, and I was ready to tap out at the age of 31. So I can't even imagine, you know, what some of those old tough guys lived and dealt with. But they just have, he brought an accountability to these guys. the Tarasenkos of the world that were great players but didn't understand how to be a champion like a Sidney Crosby, and understanding that your work ethic on the ice and working as a team is the most important thing, and finding that niche that everybody can play on and pull in the same way. And you know, obviously the Blues were the worst team in the league at June 3rd or January 3rd last year or the year before, whatever it was, and took that thing all the way. And obviously Jordan Binnington and his story coming into play. I always tell people one of the best things that happened in that organization was Larry Robinson spending 6 or 8 games on the bench. And in 2003, I want to say it was, he took over for Robbie Fatorik in New Jersey, and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year, and he took over in March. So I think he had a good solid understanding, not to mention, you know, he's Larry Robinson. He's got now 10 Stanley Cups. And so as a player, 6, and then as a coach and manager, he's got 4. So he obviously knows what he's doing. But, you know, going through that and watching it, and you can just feel it, right? You know, you can just feel when something's going to happen. And we felt it. Blues alumni, there's 45 of us that have remained in St. Louis and live here and are active members of the community. And what a run it was for us to celebrate together, for the players to celebrate with us. The coaching staff and the management were unbelievable and invited us to everything. We had floats in the parade. It was so cool, too. Probably one of the coolest stories was, you know, St. Louis really showed its true colors. We get kind of tagged for the murder capital back and forth with Detroit because of some of the things that go on the east side of St. Louis and downtown St. Louis that maybe aren't safe. But there were 750,000 people downtown at that parade. There wasn't a fight. You know, the biggest problem that St. Louis had to worry about was running out of Budweiser and Bud Light. And it was super safe and super fun. And, you know, you couldn't see people for miles from where the arch was that goes back down to the main roads in St. Louis. It was one of the most unbelievable things. And I always said that if we ever win a Stanley Cup in St. Louis, Market Street will never be the same. And I don't know if they showed any clips from that video of a Barbashev puking in the Mustang, Jordan Binnington's riding on a mini bike. You know, these guys were getting off their floats and engaging with the fans like I don't think anybody's ever seen in a championship parade. So it's pretty cool, and I think they've got a great chance to do it again. They've showed this year that they can win in spurts and battle the adversities on a yearly season rather than just kind of having the wrap-up they had last year. So I think that they're the champions until somebody knocks them off.
It's a great town, and we were so happy for him to see them win it all. By the way, Rich Sutter is coming up next. He's watching right now, Reed. He wants to know what you're doing now to keep busy. Says he loved the way you played.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Appreciate that. And I love the way you guys played, and all of the brothers. It's a pretty awesome story for those guys to have that many family members all have those kinds of careers in the NHL. So mad respect, and come see us. Right now, I own a hair salon in St. Louis, so working at that, and I also own a beverage company. We distribute liquor, wine, and spirits to the state of Missouri, and then I do some auctioneering for charities, and I'm on the board of directors for the St. Louis Blues alumni, and just we really work hard to get back to our community and be a part of the St. Louis community, not only in the hockey world, but in all the facets that make this town so special. And we're just so privileged as a group to be a part of what we have here, you know, led by guys like Bruce Affleck, Kelly Chase. You know, it's a special group of people down here. So we all help each other out. We all try and make sure that we're still teammates, which is kind of the coolest thing. I never realized after my hockey career is over that I was going to get introduced to my real hockey family. So the St. Louis Blues alumni is a pretty special group, and it's a privilege to be a part of it.
Awesome. Well, it is a great place. And Reed, I appreciate you reaching out to do this. Let's do it again soon. And stay safe, my friend. I appreciate it.
Anytime you guys want me on, just let me know. Love coming back and seeing the people in Saskatchewan and being a part of your show. And congratulations to you and all you've done for yourself over the years. You're doing a great job.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. Reed Lowe, first-class guy joining us from the Show Me State. Real good guy. Love the family, too, by the way. You got to read the book, Reed. I didn't write the book for people just to look at it. Rich Sutter coming up next. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Lots of time left here in this program, episode 238. It's hour two. We're going back out on video chat. Rich Sutter's been waiting a while, a 13-year NHL veteran, Columbus Blue Jackets pro scout. And I apologize, Richie, that we're a little out of order here. We had some scheduling snafus, but we got you now. And you're in the Edmonton airport, am I right?
I'm at a hotel by the Edmonton Airport with my grandson, Roman, and my daughter, Sabre, on our way to Bellary Hospital in Edmonton.
So, Rich, interesting that you're on the move because not too many people are, as a matter of fact. Since the last time we talked and Skip the Dishes was coming to your house, what's new professionally and personally?
Well, personally... just trying to get caught up on a lot of things at home that I would do over the summertime and in terms, you know, house maintenance, yard maintenance, a lot of things we've been doing we want to get done that I was hoping to have done by Labor Day weekend. That is now officially all done. So hopefully when hockey starts, if it starts, I'll can put my mindset and my thoughts and focus on that at that point. But right now, today is unexpected thing with our little guy here has to get back up to the Bellary Hospital here in Edmonton. He's had some serious surgeries here since the first week of December. We were very, very lucky to have to get him home Christmas Eve late. He's been going back up for some more issues. And hopefully we've got him in the home stretch now where today is going to just start to be days where we can have to bring him up once a month where he basically gets looked at and checked to make sure he's going to be fine.
Wow. Well, thoughts with you and prayers for the little guy for sure. He's a Sutter, so you know that he's going to pull through. Now, Rich, you were the first to say several weeks ago, no clue when this draft's going to be. And then I see Bob McKenzie yesterday. No clue when the draft's going to be. He comes on TSN and says, if you're asking me when the draft's going to be, I have no idea. How hard is this for scouts, frankly? I mean, the prospects, I guess, can wait because there will be a draft at some point. But in terms of getting ready for the draft from the team perspective, what are the challenges there?
Well, the challenges are you got no combine. And the combine that goes on in Buffalo, I mean, most of these kids that are North American kids that are there are a lot of those interviews have already been done. Teams are going to interview them maybe a second, third time in Buffalo. I think the biggest thing that the NHL is missing on and the individual teams is simply, Rod, that it's dealing with the European kid because you're not getting that one-on-one time with them or one-on-five time. I mean, people you have in your group. I feel that's where it's missing, and that's where the toughest challenge is going to be. But that's where, you know, thank God we have technology like what we're using here today. That virtually, these kids are going to sit at home. Maybe they're going to be more comfortable sitting at home, being interviewed online. I think is probably a better thing for them. And these kids are so well coached nowadays by their agents and their media people that they're being told how to answer questions and how to disclose things, not disclose things. I think the biggest thing is you miss the one-on-one connection with the actual looking the kid in the eye in a room and holding him accountable with some questions and getting him to respond in some uncomfortable spots. And to me, it goes both good and bad for that. I think the biggest thing right now is you're missing more than you're missing the one-on-one challenge, and you're missing, more importantly, the European player over the North American player.
I'm looking at the standings right now. I don't know when's the last time you looked at the standings. Maybe you do all the time. I haven't for months. Whoever wins this lottery is going to get Alexis Lafreniere, right? Midterm ranking one, final ranking one. He's the number one guy, right?
Well, that's the general consensus, and I think that's kind of how it will play out. There are some guys that kind of crept into this here in the last probably month with the latest rankings about who's going to go 2, 3, 4, somewhere in that area. But I think the biggest thing it comes down to in today's game, it's always about drafting the best player available, and it's always about drafting. If you can get a stud defenseman, do it. I think if it comes down between a centerman or a winger, you pick the centerman because it's a lot easier for the centerman to learn to play wing than for the winger to turn and make him a centerman. I think those are your pivotal spots in your organization. Obviously, it's going to be your goal thing, but I think 2 and 3, without a doubt, has got to be your center in your defense. And where does your strength lie down the middle of your hockey club? And so I think it's going to be a challenge for some of these teams to see how things play out. I think it's going to be exciting. As for draft date, I don't think you're going to see a draft date, Rod, until once the season resumes. Shall it resume?
Detroit, a distant 31st in the National Hockey League, from what I would say. So I would say odds-on favorite to win the lottery. Rich, so everybody, to a man, saying they're going to be back playing. The Blue Jackets are in the dance if this 24-team format continues. Mind you, they would be at 16, too. What are you thinking about that in the latest that's come out?
I think the biggest thing is you got to make sure the safety of everyone involved, right from, you know, player personnel to staff, team services people, and that's first and foremost. And I know that, look, Bill Daly and Gary Bettman have done a tremendous job through this with their team of people. Their leadership has been phenomenal. I think the relationship it's been kind of unique with the players and Donald Fares, how well they've got along through all this. And I think what they're doing is they're trying to find the safest spots more than anything. And I think it's not just, you know, I see Edmonton came out the other day about how they got the best facility in the world and all this other stuff. You're right. But there's other places too. No one wants to talk about Winnipeg. I don't know why no one's not talking about Winnipeg. You talk about COVID and the number of cases and how few there's been there and the safety of putting 4 or 6 teams in a city like that. There's a hotel accommodation. There's an NHL rink. There's a practice facility they'll keep private for the teams 10 minutes down the road. I think there's a lot of good spots. I know without a doubt, I believe that we are the number one spot if not North America, for sure in the United States. We have our rink. We have a practice facility within the rink, numerous hotels, and we got another NHL-type building, you know, 10 minutes up the road at Ohio State University where they house their team. So we have access to a lot of things in Ohio. Remember, we were the first state to shut down, Rod, when the pandemic started. And I think we're one of the first states to come out of it because of that. So I think we're setting ourselves up for something here that hopefully will be something good down the road and hopefully good for the Blue Jackets.
Good. I like that. All positive from every NHL guy that we talked to. Did you get your beer, Rich?
Yes. That's my trade-off, you know.
I know. I was going to say, the Rich Sutter appearance brought to you by Original 16. I don't know if you can see that. The Swift Current Broncos glass is the only one on my desk. I have one for every Sask dub team, but I got the Broncos as the only one up here. What do you love about Original 16, Rich? It seems to have tickled your palate.
Well, number one, I think it's the story behind it. I mean, this group of employees that did what they did to save this industry, their part of their industry and the brewery is phenomenal, nothing short of phenomenal. I think it's an incredible name. It's Saskatchewan. You know, I got to know about the Original 16 when Lucas was playing with Blade. It's hooked me. The beers hooked me. Just the variety of things they offer to the consumer is awesome. And I think they're good people. Obviously, they're people that need to be patted on the back because they saved the brewery. They saved what they brought this name out. It's been incredible. Scott Henbury, I think, does a great job for them. I know I owe him lunch the next time I get to Saskatchewan, and hopefully he'll leave something in the back of my truck. So that's all I care about. And the days are starting to warm up finally, Rod. I heard it was hot there yesterday. It's +5 where I'm at today in pouring rain. So once it gets hot again, people will get thirsty.
Well, what I say about Original 16 is it knocked me into retirement. I'm not sure they even like that, but it is, it's the truth. It was so good, it knocked me into retirement. Richie, our best to Roman, of course, and the entire Sutter clan, and I appreciate the time, my man. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Thanks, Rod.
Rich Sutter joining us from Edmonton today. And his visits are presented by Original 16. It's a real easy deal. They go and drop the beer off on his front step. The Original 16 Great Western guys.
That's a great deal.
He's happy. They're happy. The viewers are happy. Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
It's a good deal. So overtime's next, everybody. We're going to cover all these things. So get your questions ready on CFL. We didn't delve into that pay-per-view talk at all. The recap on the town hall. All these things I want to talk about next, plus the rock star of the day. So hang on. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at CapitalFordLincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, for the overtime segment. Ryan, do you need to get to the back? Our technical producer, he's just going to sit on the couch. It is overtime for Emerald Water. They've been very active on social media, if you've noticed.
Oh, yeah.
Follow them on Twitter, Emerald Water, YQR, Instagram, what have you. Our poll is up right now. You can vote for the Rockstar of the Day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Alan, the intern, writes, the Asian sensation, writes in and says, Rich Sutter is the man of the people. And that is why he is the Rockstar of the Day. From the Asian sensation, Alan, the intern. Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI, and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service. Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better. John Lynch will get the first Rockstar of the Day hat when it's delivered in here, and it will be delivered shortly. Darnell was watching today from Rockstar. He was in Frontier, Saskatchewan today, the home of Rhett Warner. He's got one prototype made, and it's beautiful.
Doesn't look good.
And we've all agreed that it's going to Lynch, because you know he's going to wear it every day. And Lynch will make his return to the bunker tomorrow live in here. And the way I think about this, last week when I picked him up at his home and it was on my Instagram story and we had hip-hop music thumping in the back, that doesn't seem like that long ago. That seems like a couple of days ago. Now, for us, the days are going very fast. The weeks are going very fast. And believe me, I think about it all the time. I'm incredibly grateful that that's the case. I've been thinking a lot about the CFL players and to a certain extent the coaches too and anybody that's frozen, frankly, in this situation. I was writing a friend in the States today. I said, I have not been bored one millisecond, not one, but that's just me. I think that has a lot to do with the mental training that I've undergone in the last 2, 3, 4 years. But if you know, what's that Snickers commercial, not going anywhere for a while?
Yeah.
Grab a Snickers bar. Folks, a lot of people aren't going anywhere for a while. I understand a lot are going back to work too, and that's cool, but a lot of people aren't. You know, and I just, all I can say is I don't know what they're going through. I'm just glad that I'm going through where I'm at. Is that fair?
It's absolutely fair.
Yeah. Not like I haven't gone through my crap, by the way.
You have?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we've all gone through it. I'm the same way. You know, it feels like the last game I called feels like a decade ago.
What was it?
It would have been a Blades game. I don't even remember the last game I called. But it's out of mind. I don't spend time, like you said, worrying about the past.
Don't think about it.
Right? I don't think about it. So it feels like, you know, forever ago. But then at the same time, the days go by so fast that it does feel like yesterday. I see both sides of it. But you're right. I've never been bored. Continue to move on. I think that's the best way to deal with it.
Well, I don't want to make an example of Adam on the tractor because he's a friend of mine. He came to one of my social media seminars in Saskatoon, but he said, I miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. I miss training camp. I miss baseball scores. We all do. But to frankly sit and think about it, and he's not the only guy. I see it all over the place. You must too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a ton of fake news out there, by the way, which I will again give Randy Ambrosi the credit for just nipping in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff about, oh, players can report if they've got the proper paperwork and this and that. Well, clearly that's not the case because they're not playing until September. Yeah. So Randy really did drop the hammer on that. And actually, that reminds me, I had some good messages come in here on the Prairie Mobile text line. I should read them. Shane writes, the town hall stream is still available at the link, cfl.ca. I listened to it driving home last night. Randy redeemed himself after the federal mess up. So that's good. I have not seen it yet, and I don't need to see it. I'm going by all the coverage. The quotes are really all you need to see. I would have liked to have seen his facial expression, but I can live without it. Jim Wagner writes in, and he says, can you please give us the different categories for the ultimate quarterback? We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Jim, thanks for writing in. This is no exact thing, but Nataya J has started a podcast, Ball for All podcast, and I think it was his first guest was Trevor Harris. And they were talking about the ideal quarterback, who's got the best arm, who's got the best IQ, football IQ, who's got the best feet, who's got the best swagger. That's four categories.
Yeah.
That I saw.
And I want to add leadership.
Sure.
I want to make sure that's part of it.
So that's five.
So I think you got five categories. Arm, head, swagger, feet, and leadership.
I'm just typing in Nate Ajay on Instagram so I can find his. I got to be honest, man. These players that are so cool. He found somebody, Nate, to draw up Bo Levi's body, Matt Nichols' head, Vernon Adams' legs, and put them all into one body on his. So I actually wrote the guy. It's David Corona. I said, will you do that for me? Guy hasn't written me back yet. But I will tell you that my perfect quarterback looks nothing like Trevor Harris's perfect quarterback. And Trevor couldn't vote for himself either, by the way.
Okay.
So here it is. Nate's The All Ball Podcast first guest was O'Shea Brissett from the Raptors. So that's part of what we'll be talking about tomorrow. I guess Randy Ambrosi brushed on the pay-per-view concept for the CFL yesterday. I didn't see that. And he basically said it's not happening. And I don't just say it on this show. I said it on my last show. I can't stand the what-if game. I hate playing the what-if game because we've played it from time to time. Most sports talk shows, that's all they do is the what-if game.
Yeah.
But we had a question on the poll last week or the week before. What would you pay for a CFL pay-per-view? And people just went absolutely nuts that it was coming. It was just a hypothetical question. What would you pay on a pay-per-view for one CFL game? And I knew what Randy said. They've got a television contract as it stands right now. They're not going to switch it to go to pay-per-view. I guess that's what he said yesterday. I didn't see it. But do you see why I hate the what-if game? It's a little like you said and Strudwick said, looking too far down the line creates anxiety, and it puts your mind there, and there are no unknowns. There's no for certains, actually. Sorry.
Yeah. Too many unknowns.
Yeah. Right.
I completely agree. But Randy came and said everything straight, and I think he just did an outstanding job yesterday. When Randy speaks, I listen, right?
Yeah.
He has my attention when he speaks, and I trust what comes out of his mouth, and I believe him, and that's, to me, the sign of a good leader. So for me, it's just I want to hear more of that. Now, not just to hear him every day, just to hear him when he has news, but when he keeps everybody abreast of the situation. And now he's created the expectation. September is when we're starting, if we're starting. So don't sit here worrying about, are we going to have football next week? Are we going to be able to go to the game in June?
Right.
Can I make plans for July? No. CFL, September now is what we can look forward to. So
hang on. I got to stop you.
Yeah.
That's what I talked about in the rollout. We can look forward to September. It's given us hope. But he was very clear.
Oh, yeah.
To say that is not a guarantee that they're playing in September.
Right. But what I mean is you can go about your summer now.
Until then,
not worrying about whether the CFL is playing or not in June and July. You can spend your summer being like, look, there is no expectation of CFL over the summer, so I don't have to worry about it. That's what I like.
There was a comment about the Flames jersey not that many comments ago. Clark, would you mind throwing it up before we sign off today? I want to read it. You can vote now on the Twitter poll, by the way, at Rod Peterson Show for the rock star of the day. Jason Strudwick, Tim Hunter, Reed Lowe, or Rich Sutter. I like the way that Clark categorizes everybody, compartmentalizes the guests. So it's a hockey day, it's a football day, it's a mishmash day, dog's breakfast day. Anyways, Sean Dahl in Saskatoon writes, just noticed the Flames jersey on the desk. That's awesome, Rod. Appreciate it because I know how much you hate the Flames. Hats off to you. I put that out there when the Tim Hunter interview was on. I've got like literally every team under this desk. I could pull out anything at any time. I don't hate the Flames, certainly not anymore. There was a time that I did, but I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what's best for the show. Am I getting it along with Calgary? Am I not getting it along with Calgary? Am I getting it along with Hamilton and Winnipeg? Am I not? I don't know. It's hella fun trying to figure it out, though.
Oh, yeah.
Where this is going, because we have no idea. So I appreciate everybody joining us for coffee today. Those guests, of course. And we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain for a Football Friday right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.